Good evening, everyone. Before I mention, the other day, Obed had texted me and he said, "Hey, did you have any scriptures you want to be read before the devotional?" And he goes, "And by the way, yes, you do have the devotional, just so you know." And so he just gave me a friendly reminder. And also, Brother Anciso reminded me before we began worship here tonight. He's like, "Are you sure you have it this evening?" But I know they do it out of love and because they love me. Or maybe they love to just mess with me. Just kidding. But I wanted to start off this evening's lesson by stating the fact and talking about how the world is always changing. It's constantly changing. You know, things are never constant in this world, and it's always moving. Things have the opportunity to change as well. You know, especially here being in Texas. You know, the weather can constantly change. One day you may be wearing a jacket, the other day a tank top or a raincoat. It's always unpredictable and always changing. Other things that can possibly change could be something like your job, your family. It can grow in size. It can also shrink in size. Your car, your home, and the clothes you wear, even the way you take. The route you take to work. I know if anybody knows me, I work downtown, and construction's getting so bad that there's so many detours and other ways you have to take, so it's constantly changing. But those are just some examples I wanted to use, and those are all things that probably will change throughout our life. You know, it's hard to put your trust in this world when it constantly changes as much as it does. There is not assuredness or consistency to rely on. You know, it's funny that people put their trust and faith in certain things these days. They'll put everything they have into other things that don't necessarily matter. They put all their effort, attention, even love into things that may seem like they have value, but really they hold none within. They want the best of the best things. They want the nicest cars. They want the huge home, the big mansion, all the money in the world, more money than they'd know even how to spend. But for what reason? As we already mentioned before, everything changes constantly. So why try and make that a top priority in our lives? By the time we get things, there's something already new out there. A good example that I wanted to use was the company Apple that make computers and phones. They make a new phone every year, and they make these grand commercials, and they make it seem so exclusive and so popular to have every single new phone when they come out. And you know, don't get me wrong, some of the phones, they're pretty nice, and I have one as well because I like the brand. But see, when I got my phone, it was new a year ago. But now they have the 13th version of the phone, and in September they're going to release the 14th version. So it's constantly just changing, and additions are being made, so you're never going to be able to catch up. And people still pay the thousands of dollars to get those things. And so it's funny to see what people value and put first in their lives, or people hold closer in their hearts and in their minds. Other than God. They'll easily and eagerly put something that has face value before they even think about God. Well, why is that? Because they want the status that comes along with these new things, with these items. As if they are more of a person with the thing, or as if they are less without it. That thought makes me think of the hymn that we sing sometimes, the chorus of the hymn that's titled, "There Stands a Rock." It says, "Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame, or their treasure, or their land. Mine is on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages." There are those who idolize other things and prioritize them as well at the top of their list before anything else. You know, we become so materialistic at times. And Brother Mike, who came and spoke to the teens on Saturday, even mentioned in the lesson that he gave that even though there are no grand monuments or idols or kings anymore like how they had in biblical times, we still find a way to create idols. We find a way to worship something more than God himself, to put something before God. People put their faith in these things sometimes. These inanimate objects that hold no real true value. And they act as if once they're gone, those things will go along with them as well. It's like that saying, you can't take anything with you when you're gone. You came into this world with nothing and you will leave it just the same. However, as the hymn says, there is someone we could put our faith into. Someone who does not change or falter or tarnish or get stolen, lost, or broken. As it says, mine is on the rock that forever shall stand. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. And it says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So while Jesus was still teaching his disciples, he asked them, who do people say that he is? Who do some say that he is? And they said, John the Baptist or one of the prophets. But when Peter answered, he says that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And what we're focusing on here is that confession. And it says that upon that rock, he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And on that confession, on that truth, Christ would build his church. Not a physical one made by hands, but a spiritual one by the blood that he shed, by the death he suffered, and nothing would stop him. No prosecution, no amount of humiliation, agonizing pain, or anything for that matter, would stop Jesus from establishing his church. Which is why he states that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It was an everlasting one. One that cannot be broken, moved, revoked, or lost. Jesus paid the price so that we wouldn't have to. On that confession that he is because of his Father who is. That's who we need to put our faith and trust in. In God. That rock which he made his church is immovable. It can't be moved. It can't be broken. And however many thousand years has it been since it has been established, and yet it still holds true. What can you think of on that type of degree that has lasted that long? Something that literally has everything to offer the opportunity at eternal salvation with God. What has even come close to that? Nothing. You know, there are many religious establishments out there that claim to be the only way to salvation. And if you notice, what they even say is constantly changing too. Some may say, you know, say this prayer and you'll be saved. Read the scripture and you're fine. You'll be good. You know, let me lay my hands on you. Let me pray on you. And all of a sudden, all your problems will be gone, just like magic. A lot of claims out there. There's a lot of false claims. Untrue ways that they're trying to pass along. You know, how can they be possibly true? Did they have the authority from God himself, as Jesus did? Did they get crucified on the cross and come back to life? No. Let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we'll read verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. And it reads, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So no other name under heaven. So why would there be any other way than what has already been established by Jesus himself? How can anybody else have that type of authority? Let's turn to the book of John. John chapter 14. John 14, and we'll read verse 6. John 14, 6. And if we see the way that has already been established by Jesus, which way is that? And we see in verse 6, it says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by" who? Jesus himself. There's no other way. Jesus is the only way to that salvation. There is no other being, force, or miracle, or anything for that matter, that can take the place of what he's done for us. He was crucified and died for the sins of those who would be obedient. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1 verse 8. And I want us to pay close attention to what we're about to read, because this is going to be connected with our closing. Revelation 1 verse 8. It says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." These are the words of Jesus himself. Notice how he states, he is the Alpha. That's the first letter in the Greek alphabet. And Omega, the last. And now let's notice the types of words and the tense that he uses. He says, "which is," that's present tense. "Which was," that's past tense. "And which is to come," future. Now let's make the connection. Let's turn. This will be the last verse that we look at. This will be Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 8. And let's keep all of what we just read in mind. Hebrews 13, verse 8. And it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever." Miss that connection. He is the same yesterday, which was, today, which is, and forever, which is to come. That promise he made about coming back He's going to keep it. There's no doubt about that. That promise will never change. That promise will never be broken. It'll never be lost or forgotten. We don't know when he is going to come, because only God knows that. So then why wait? Why wait to obey his commands? Why put it off any longer than we have to? If we have no idea when he's coming back, why put that at stake and why jeopardize our salvation? For everything in this world that can change, that can be lost, that can be stolen, broken, why jeopardize our soul for these things? If you heard the word of God and you believe it to be truth, then you must repent of your sins, make that confession, and be baptized. As we said, why gamble? Why gamble your soul, your life, on these movable things here on earth, when you can put your faith on that rock, which is Jesus Christ, immovable? The invitation is not only to those who have yet to put on Christ. If you are a Christian and you feel like you've been slipping up or like you've been falling short of his grace, this invitation is for you as well. So if you are ready to put on baptism, or if you feel like you need prayers from your brothers and sisters in Christ, you now have that opportunity as we stand and sing.